Good morning, everyone. On this snowy April 15th, I pray that you are safe and warm. I pray that this devotional time will be a blessing for you wherever you observe it, be it in your homes, at whatever time of day you observe it, that we would be strengthened by God's word together today. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of the day, for the mercies that you provide us each day. We pray that you would especially bless all those who are forced to work in these blizzard conditions, that you'd give them safety, that you'd encourage and strengthen them, grant them endurance in the work you've given them to do. We pray that you'd bless us and keep us safe today, and that you'd especially bless our hearing and meditating on your word at this time. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd invite you to hear our readings for this Sunday, April 15th. Our first reading comes to us from Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 11. It's Acts chapter 3, 11 through 21. While he, that is a man that Peter and John have just healed by the power of the Spirit, proclaiming Jesus, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. The faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that is, Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." The word of the Lord. Our second reading for this morning comes to us from 1 John chapter 3. It's John 1 John 3, 1 through 7. St. John writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sin also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous." The word of the Lord. And our gospel reading for this morning comes to us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 49. as they, Jesus' followers, were talking about these things, Jesus' post-resurrection appearances, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day, he should rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The title of today's message is "Christ is Risen, Therefore We Are Saved, Body and Soul." Over the last 2 months, we have said farewell at Hope to three dear saints, the latest being our sister Evelyn, whose funeral was just yesterday, Saturday. She, along with Teresa and Bud, trusted in Christ. They all believed and rejoiced in the good news that Jesus had died for them to take away their sin, and that he has risen from the dead. Each faced the moment of death in confident hope, knowing that they were secure in the love and salvation of the God who claimed them decades earlier in the waters of their baptisms. Now, they are at rest. But what exactly is their hope? Where do their lives find their ultimate fulfillment? What is God's end goal for Bud and Teresa and Evelyn? And while we're at it, what's God's end goal for you and for me? Today we get to explore some of these ultimate questions, and in the weeks to come we'll go even further. With the guidance of God's Word, we'll unpack the hope that is ours because Christ is risen from the dead. Last week we learned from the Scriptures that the resurrection of Jesus means that He is God's sole solution to the problem of sin and evil and death. Jesus says unequivocally, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In other words, Jesus alone is our source of hope. He is the source of real, lasting hope. And that hope is found in nowhere else. But Jesus is not only the answer to the question, "Where does my hope come from?" He's also the content of our hope. He's the answer to the question, "What does my hope look like?" With that introduction, let's dig into our gospel reading today from Luke chapter 24. The context of this reading is Sunday evening of the resurrection. The women have already gone to the tomb and found it empty. Jesus has appeared to them. Jesus then has also appeared to Simon Peter and to two of the followers who are traveling on the road to a town nearby called Emmaus. Now, several of Jesus' followers are gathered together in a room trying to make sense of the amazing things they had seen and heard that day. Then, this happens. Starting in Luke 24, verse 36, while they were telling these things, he, Jesus himself, stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke is urging us with the disciples to take a good, long look at Jesus. Because when we do, we stare into the content of our hope. We see what our hope actually looks like. So let's take a look at Jesus today. Jesus shows up in the midst of his disciples suddenly, and they are terrified, thinking they are seeing a spirit or a ghost. The verses that follow, however, will make clear that their terror and initial confusion come about not because Jesus is some sort of wispy, disembodied vision, but because he's shown up in their midst so suddenly and miraculously. By the way, this is what God in the flesh can do. Even though he has a human body, he can be wherever he wants to be as quickly as he wants to be, because he is God Almighty. Jesus immediately then begins sharing with his followers the proofs that he is indeed not just a spirit. He says, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Jesus invites his followers to look at him, to see the marks of his crucifixion as proof that he really is the one who had died on Friday. He's not some imposter. To touch him, to experience his physical, bodily existence. And as if their seeing and touching him is not proof enough that he is physically present with them, alive and well, Jesus asks for something to eat. Eats a piece of fish right in front of them, as if to say, "Look, I'm a real, living, full-bodied human being doing real human things, like eating food." Okay, we might say, that's kind of neat. But what's the big deal? How does this episode give us a picture of the hope that is ours? Well, St. John answers that question in our epistle reading today from 1 John 3. Hear again his words, starting with verse 2. St. John writes, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be." That is, we haven't seen it yet. But John continues, "We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is." And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So why is it important for us to see Jesus physically alive, resurrected, with real hands and feet, able to be touched and to eat and to be fully bodily alive? Because we will be like him. As Jesus is now, so you will be when he returns. It's the reason he came in the first place, in the way that he did. It's the purpose of what we call the incarnation, God coming into human flesh, Jesus became fully human so that he might save our full humanity, our souls and our bodies. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for Bud and for Teresa and for Evelyn? Well, in baptism, you and I are joined to Jesus in his death and in his resurrection, according to St. Paul in Romans chapter 6. The Bible says, of all who are in Christ, that we are new creations right now. That Jesus' resurrection is already our reality, in that the Holy Spirit has made us spiritually alive, even though our bodies are getting older and still subject to sickness and pain and death. That's why Paul will say in 2 Corinthians that though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Here and now we live in both of those realities at the same time. In our bodies, we experience the effects of being broken and living in a broken world because of our sin. In our souls, we are alive by the power of the Spirit, who joins us to our risen King and keeps us connected to him in faith. The day then comes for us, as it came for Bud and for Teresa and for Evelyn, where the body finishes the process of dying, and the soul, alive in Christ, goes to be with Christ. Is that a good thing? You bet. Absolutely yes. But the story doesn't end there. In the words of one of my favorite all-time hymns, For All the Saints, it's the second to last verse, but then there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia, alleluia. To reiterate the words of John, we know that when he, Jesus, appears, we will be like him. Like him, how? Well, let's go back to Luke chapter 24, standing with real, glorified, healed hands and feet and body. We'll be eating, we'll be talking, we'll be relating, just like we were meant to be from the beginning, before sin and death messed everything up. Our Heavenly Father declared our full body and soul humanity good when he created us in the beginning. And now in the person of his Son, he has accomplished what it takes to make us good again, forgiven now, healed and restored and renewed forever. So what does this mean for us now? It means that we live with a full-bodied hope. We confess on one hand before God the brokenness of our lives, including those persistent tendencies to war against the goodness of what he created in the ways that we misuse our bodies through overwork or through laziness or through lack of rest or exercise or proper diet. We confess before him the ways that we have offered the bodies he has created and redeemed to the service of other gods, be it our own ambition or appetites or desires, you name it. We confess the ways that we have looked to image or to appearance to provide the worth or value that God alone can and does bestow on us as his creatures. And then we rejoice. We rejoice in his forgiveness and redemption of our bodies. We thank him for the ability to move and to work and to encourage and to serve with our bodies. We use our unique God-given gifts and abilities to love others and to bring glory to his name. We care for our bodies through rest and through exercise and diet. Honoring the body is God's gift by which we glorify and serve him. In fact, it is the temple that the Spirit has chosen to dwell in. And as a result, we resist the temptations to offer our bodies to unholy urges, to substance abuse or to sexual expression outside of the bounds of marriage. And then we encourage others to do the same, living by faith in the one who has risen bodily from the dead, the one who has promised to raise us so that we will be like him, fully alive, fully human, fully reflecting the image of the one who made us and saved us in love. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And because he lives, we have hope, real hope, body and soul hope. In his name, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of your word today. We pray that you would cause it to work deeply within our hearts and minds, that it would take root in us and bear fruit, that we would honor the gift of the body you have given, rejoicing in the one who came, who suffered and died and rose again so that we might have real, full-bodied hope. We praise you for the promise that he is coming again and that when he appears, our Lord Jesus, we will be like him, fully alive, resurrected, just as he is. In the meanwhile, Lord, help us to honor the gift of our body in the way that we care for ourselves, and help us to use the gifts you have given us in loving service to one another. We pray especially today with thanksgiving for all those who celebrate your good gifts in the form of birthdays or anniversaries, that you'd be with them and bless them this week as they rejoice in your goodness and love. We pray for those in need of healing and strength, that you'd look with favor upon them and grant them mercy according to their need, that you'd bring them quick healing, we pray. We also pray comfort and strength for all those who mourn, that you'd give relief and comfort to those who mourn the loss of loved ones. We especially lift up the family of Evelyn today, that you'd continue to comfort and keep them as they rejoice in your goodness and your promise of life for Evelyn and for them, but as they miss her dearly. We pray that you'd bless all those, again, who are forced to be outside in these conditions today, that you'd grant them safety and endurance in their labor. We pray for our elected leaders and officials, that you'd be with them, continue to bless and sustain them. We pray that you'd grant them wisdom, that they might act in a way that is just and right, that we might enjoy your peace, your safety in our time. We pray for all of the petitions that are in our hearts and minds at this time. You know them better than we can even express them, and so we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to your gracious and loving care. We pray all these petitions in the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. God bless and keep you today. I look forward to seeing you in church soon. We pray that this winter weather will clear away quickly. And I pray God's blessings on your week. Amen.